Let us pray. O God, our great companion, lead us day by day deeper into the mysteries of life and enable us to become faithful interpreters of life to our fellow men through Christ our Lord. Amen. Wow. What happened? Something happened. A dark church becomes ablaze with light. A somber beginning to this service of worship has erupted into joyous acclamation. Jesus is alive. How can that be possible? There is no doubt they killed him. There is no doubt he was dead. A soldier's spear made us sure of that. There is no doubt that his body was placed in a tomb with a huge stone over its entrance and Roman soldiers guarding it. Everything that was humanly possible was done to contain him. Killing him was supposed to silence him and his teachings. Putting his body in a sealed tomb was to prevent possible fraud by his disciples. The authorities did everything they could to prevent his disciples from stealing his body and claiming he had been raised from the dead. Slim chance of that. They were in hiding and afraid for their own lives. Something had gone terribly wrong. Two women, each named Mary, came to the tomb at daybreak to anoint his body with oils. An earthquake had rolled the huge stone away from the entrance. His body was not in the tomb, and the soldiers were playing dead so that they wouldn't be charged with dereliction of duty. An angelic being confronts the two Marys with these words that would reverberate to this day. He is risen. Those three words have impacted and altered the history of the world. Those three words established a new calendar that is used by the whole world today. These three words have created the finest music that ever touched human ears. These three words have prompted the writing of a million books, each seeking to explain these three words. One of those books has continued to be a bestseller over every other book written. We know it as the Holy Bible. These three words have created thousands of groups, societies, denominations, and religious bodies, each reflecting and having insight into the truth of these three words. We refer to this collective effort by so many as the church. These three words have been made visible in the erection of hospitals, creation of schools, and the founding of universities. These three words continue to baffle our best scientific minds as they contemplate this vast universe. Their studies often prompt them to humility and awe. These three words are presently prompting the writing of laws, reflecting a fundamental understanding of what it means to be human, religious, or spiritual. These three words brought us here tonight and will bring us back often to continue our worship and reflection of what these three words mean today in this fast-changing Good Friday world. It is obvious. Jesus has not been contained. But we still try. The church has tried to contain Jesus. Some branches of the church have asserted that the forgiving grace of God Almighty is only available through the church, the institutional church. As a dispenser of God's grace, the institutional church has wielded great power over people. It has done a pretty good effective job, too, frightening people with the notion that if one is not receiving God's grace through baptism, or even if a baby is not baptized, it is in danger of going to hell. What an unchristlike idea. Another branch of the church asserts that unless you have said you are sorry for your sins, sworn allegiance to Jesus as your Savior, you too are in danger of going to hell. In both instances, fear is the motivator, and avoidance of punishment is the hope that is offered. In both instances, confidence in creating fear is believed to be the effective way to create followers. The creation of fear is justified because it seems so effective in gaining the allegiance of people. Groups like ISIS and many, many others know how to create fear and have refined ways to induce it. This is not Jesus' way. The first words from the angel to the two Marys at the empty tomb was, "You have nothing to fear." Jesus' own greeting to his disciples was, "Do not be afraid." There is not one shred of biblical evidence the disciples of Jesus followed him because they were afraid of him. Fear drove them away from Jesus into hiding at the most critical parts of his life. Jesus did not seek to persuade through fear. He sought to move the hearts of his day by doing acts of compassion and mercy. He urges us to do the same today. I am very grateful that we have prayers in our own prayer book that affirm that the church is that wonderful and sacred mystery. We must live with these holy mysteries with respect and deep gratitude. The church does not have Jesus under wraps and never will. We can and do reflect his spirit. We can respond to his teachings, but we cannot contain him. We must now ask a very important question. Is Jesus present in the world today? In Father Cauchy's Easter message in the net, he affirmed that we are Easter people in a Good Friday world. The elements of Good Friday seem to be all around us and more entrenched than ever. Example: there's a huge surge for diversity and inclusion all across the world, mainly driven by technology and the internet and those who are disenfranchised. As recent as last week, another state in the United States signed into a carefully worded law the opportunity to discriminate under religious freedom. Julian Bond of the Southern Poverty Law Center says, "It is not about religion at all. It is about discrimination, pure and simple," unquote. It is about fear of the other, a very human trait. But even my great-granddaughter exhibits that, and we will surely change her mind about the other. Where do we see the grace of God and the presence of Jesus in the world today? When the church is the church, we see him there. But he is not confined to the church. He is present wherever people understand his teachings and express them in their daily lives. For example, two police officers were alerted by the cashier of a fast food drive-up window that a woman had just driven through with a baby in her lap and not in a car seat. They quickly found her and pulled her over. She was still holding the small child in her lap between herself and the steering wheel. She was afraid she was going to be arrested for endangering the life of her child. The officers noticed there was no car rest, no car seat in the back, and asked her about it. She said that what she was driving was a borrowed car, as hers had just been repossessed, and the baby seat was in it. The two officers could have given her a ticket then and there. Instead, they told her to drive to the nearest Walmart and they would meet her there. They all arrived and the two officers brought her a car seat for her child. When asked, one of the officers said he would do it all over the same way again. He saw his job as helping people out of problems, not making their lives more difficult. forgiving grace was present and given freely. Some of our police forces will benefit from an attitude adjustment change in understanding of how to deal with the public. Another example, Miss Colorado of 2011 revealed a personal secret recently on television. At the time she was sworn in as Miss Colorado, she was homeless, but was too ashamed to reveal it. Since talking about it on television, she has received numerous offers of help. Abundant grace is all around us. Jesus knew our human condition better than we know ourselves. He always probed into a person's story. How did they get to where they are? Shortly after 9/11, Risadin, a native Bangladesh immigrant, was working at a mini mart in Texas when Mark Stroman walked in carrying a shotgun and loudly demanded, "Where are you from?" Risadin knew the rule and put the cash box on the counter. Glowering at his dark skin and contemptuous of his accent, Mark again shouted, "Where are you from?" Risadin said nothing further, and Mark Stroman casually raised his shotgun and shot Risadin in the face. A lot of the pellets hit his right cheek and right eye. Mark Stroman left the store with Risadin thinking he would die and prayed to Allah with a promise that if he lived, he would do as much good as he could for as many people as he could. But things got worse for him. His fiancée left him. The mini mart let him go, and he soon found himself homeless and $60,000 in debt. The hospital that treated him kept him only one day and bounced him out. His family in Bangladesh begged him to come home. Mark Stroman, a casual white supremacist, went on to other mini marts and killed two other immigrant workers. He wound up on death row in a Texas prison. Risadin learned of this and sought to know him better. What he found out about Mark was not pretty. Mark was born to a dad who was a drug addict and absent. As a young boy, his mother told him she was $50 short from aborting him. He was arrested before he could shave, and he now found himself on death row. Risadin, an Islamic immigrant, vowed to his God to help Mark. He petitioned the courts and Governor Rick Perry to have him spared the death sentence. It was not to be. They talked with each other, and Mark Stroman just could not believe that another human being, one he had attempted to kill, would expend so much effort and have him live. Through the help and counsel of ministers and prison workers and therapists, Mark did find God before the state of Texas took his life. The forgiving grace of God is not confined to the religion established in Jesus' name or in the church he established. It is a universal principle of how God intends us to live with each other. Jesus epitomized that principle as no other in history. And our gratitude for him, his life, his teaching knows no bounds. As Christians, one of the greatest sins is trying to confine Jesus to our tribe. We have just come through Lent. It would be appropriate to come to worship tonight feeling the heavy weight of shame. That is healthy and appropriate. Lent is the sober reminder that we have made grievous mistakes. We have sinned. We will do well to get in touch with those attitudes, those values, those judgments that prevent and harm our relationships from being the means of grace that God intended them to be for each other. Lent has emerged to remind us that we have made mistakes. Jesus has emerged in history to remind us that we are not mistakes. Let us receive again the gift of Easter, that everyone will know that he is risen.